A recent New Yorker story frames it like this. Hydrofracking isn't an issue that just concerns people in the boonies.
Of course, because we don't have frackers drilling in our backyards here, we don't have the same kind of immediate awareness of the problem generally in Connecticut as you find in a place like Pennsylvania, for example.
That's Chris Phelps. He works for Environment Connecticut, a statewide advocacy organization. Connecticut's relationship to natural gas is complicated. For now, it's cheaper than oil, and at the heart of Governor Daniel Malloy's comprehensive energy strategy is an expansion of more than 900 miles of gas lines to 280,000 customers over the next 10 years.
It's cleaner. I mean, it's cleaner than coal. It's cleaner than oil. It has an immediate impact on air quality.
But the impacts of natural gas extraction remain controversial, and there's been legislation to keep fracking waste out of Connecticut. Speaking on WNPR's Where We Live, Malloy said his office will work to ensure compliancy with all environmental regulations.
And by the way, we're willing, more than willing, to help play a role in the development of those of those standards. But gas is going to be extracted. It's going to happen in Canada. It's going to happen throughout the United States. It's going to happen in Pennsylvania and New York. It's going to happen in a lot of places.
Fracking works like this. A drill makes its way into shale or another rock, injecting a pressurized mixture of water, sand, and chemicals. Rock is fractured, allowing for the flow of gas. Chris Phelps says fracking produces a lot of wastewater, which contains high levels of salt and toxic chemicals.
The industry doesn't really have a good answer to the question, how do you deal with, how do you dispose of all the waste produced by hydrofracking?
In 2012, Pennsylvania produced 1.2 billion gallons of fracking wastewater. A lot of that waste got shipped out of state to neighboring Ohio. Connecticut State Representative Matt Lesser says lawmakers need to guard against that happening here.
This isn't a white and black issue. We're in this state not anti-gas, but we have to, while we're doing that, be mindful of some of the environmental consequences.
During the last session, three bills were introduced dealing with fracking wastewater. All died, in part, Lesser says, because fracking isn't happening in our backyard.
Education is a huge, huge issue. Just a lot of people are only vaguely aware of it. You know, there isn't any drilling going on here, so we've not been the center of a lot of the debates. But we're still affected by the consequences of decisions elsewhere if they're able to dump this waste in our municipal treatment plants or in our streams and rivers.
According to the Yale study, 39% of people surveyed had heard nothing at all about fracking. A similar study by the Pew Research Center reported virtually the same numbers.
At large, really knows very little about fracking.
That's Nancy Alderman. She's president of Environment and Human Health Incorporated. Alderman says she wasn't surprised by the numbers in the Yale study.
Fracking is actually very complicated. You have to really want to understand how it's done. The word sounds sort of compelling, fracking, but in fact, it's very complicated.
Alderman and Lesser both agree. In Connecticut, attitudes towards natural gas expansion will continue to develop. And along with energy prices and technology advancements, public opinion will likely play a role in shaping the future of fracking. Patrick Scahill, WNPR News.